Will you please join with me in prayer? Loving God, even though the world is on fire and tearing apart at the seams, you irrationally tell us to be and be not afraid. Give us hope in this moment as you quiet every voice within us, except your own, and startle us with your true word for us today. We pray in the name of your Son. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was sitting around a dinner table with my partner's family, and we were deciding what the menu would be for Thanksgiving. We decided that Eric, my husband's mom, was going to make lasagna and stuffing. His aunt was going to make ham. His dad was going to make a green bean casserole. His sister was going to make a delicious pumpkin soup that we have to have every year. Eric himself was going to make cranberry sauce and a corn risotto. And I was charged with getting the alcohol. Because while I am not a terrible cook, I will describe my cooking as profoundly adequate. So Eric's family, half Italian, half Puerto Rican, fantastic cooks, and while I'm not bothered by the fact that I don't have to cook, I'm just glad that I can bring something to the table. It makes me feel like I have something that I can offer the community, and they're happy with my contribution. And it's a reminder that even with my limited cooking ability, I still have something to contribute and share. We all have something that we can bring to the table. In somewhat of a related manner, thinking about Thanksgiving made me think about my parents. They go every year to a place called Utica, Illinois, for what's known as the Burgoo Festival. Does anyone know what Burgoo is? Yeah, it's weird. Burgoo, it's a pioneer kind of stew, somewhat like gumbo or goulash, and it was made and popularized during the Civil War. It was traditionally made with whatever meats, and your face right now is like not very happy about what's this sounding like. It gets worse. It's made up of whatever meat and vegetables they had available at that time. And so it was often made with venison or game meat or squirrels, possum. Nowadays it's made with like beef and chicken, but it also includes potatoes, carrots, cabbage, onions, and peppers. So burgoo, it's this communal event. You can't make burgoo without the community. There's an expectation that whoever attends to enjoy the burgoo, that you bring something to the table, that whatever you have readily available, you are going to bring, and we're going to throw it all in a pot, and it's going to somehow maybe make sense. And there's a sense that there's the only way that we can share this meal together is if we come together as a community. It's so much more than just a meal. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to dine together, to do life together, to survive in the cold winters of the Midwest together. In this passage that Kara so beautifully read, Paul sends that same invitation to the Christian community in Rome in the book of Romans. He invites them to be a part of a survival community, a community that is dependent upon one another, a community that acknowledges the value of absolutely everyone at the table, not just the richest and most powerful among them. And he offers examples of how they can set themselves apart from the imperial Roman culture of privilege and power and greed. Beginning in verse 9, Paul describes what a community that is rooted in genuine love looks like. He says, genuine love is abhorring evil, clinging to good, being affectionate to one another in brotherly love and sisterly affection. Genuine love is outdoing one another in honor, not lagging in diligence, being a fire in the Spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in affliction, being devoted in prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints. Genuine love is pursuing hospitality. Paul does not command the Christians to live into these ideals or else. No, this isn't a new set of commandments for the Christian community. It's an invitation. An invitation to be a part of a new community that is set apart, that is marked not by greed, but instead by love. It is an invitation for you to bring whatever you have to the table to create a community of genuine love, recognizing that we fundamentally just can't make it in this world alone. Now, you all know that Broad Street Ministry has always been a community that cares for whoever walks through our doors. We have distinguished ourselves and made ourselves known by our unwavering commitment to radical hospitality. You can see it on our posters, in our bulletins, on our signs outdoor, even in our email signage. Radical hospitality. We strive to make people, especially vulnerable, traumatized, lonely people, feel welcome and at ease in this space. And yet, hospitality, we know, of course, is not anything new for the Christian community. From the very beginning of Genesis 1, God has shown that God is kind of an expert host, an expert at offering hospitality to people, providing for every need and protecting the first people. Then in the New Testament, Jesus offers welcome to everyone, especially to the marginalized and the outcast. He tells his followers in Matthew 25 that whenever we welcome the hungry, the naked, the poor, the stranger, we welcome Christ himself. And so as I read scripture, the more time that I spend studying scripture, the more time I spend as a pastor, the more I am convinced that the central tenet, the central moral, the central lesson of scripture is hospitality. In the ways that God welcomes us, calls us God's own, we are called to call each other our own. Radical hospitality. Hospitality is a distinctive mark of the church. It is the practice by which the church will rise or fall. I'm so convinced of this that I'm just absolutely shocked that we can live in a world where Christians claim that we shouldn't welcome certain people into our churches, either because of their documentation or sexual orientation, whatever it may be. Hospitality that we have been offered by God and been called to offer to other people, if we're not doing that, then I think we are failing as the church. But there's reasons why Christians don't offer hospitality. There's reasons why they do it, because there's a risk involved in offering hospitality. It's not all just Southern sweet tea and molasses cookies. Hospitality can be difficult to do. Stemming from the Latin, the word hospitality, it's related to the words like hospital, or hospice, or hostel, or hostile, meaning there's a risk involved that people that you welcome into your midst, strangers that you welcome into your space, they may be enemies. They may be hostile towards you. There is a risk, there is a danger in putting yourself out there. The word hospitality acknowledges that when we welcome the stranger in our midst, we are vulnerable. Both as a guest and as a host, we are made vulnerable into that interaction. It's a very intimate experience to walk into someone's house. It can be a dangerous experience. It can be a dangerous person to let someone into your house. And so inherently, when we open our doors, we are taking a risk. And we are trusting that this person has our back. We are attempting to transform a person from a potential enemy to a potential guest, to a friend. We welcome guests, we accept the invitation, even though there is risk. And when we welcome others, knowing that safety is not actually what we need, that's what we think. We don't let anyone in our home, we want to feel safe. But what we need even more than safety is acceptance. We need to connect and feel deep acceptance of another human being. That is the only thing that'll make the world feel safer. Locks and security systems can never do for our tired souls what friendship and companionship can do. We all need to experience welcome in our lives. We all need to offer welcome to others in our lives. We can all be good hosts in the city, in our neighborhoods, in our homes, in this place. So, over these next couple of weeks, we're talking about stewardship and about money. And you may be wondering what hospitality and risks have to do with money. Last week, we talked about how stewardship and giving are actually acts of resistance, resistance against a world that's obsessed with production, with individualism, commodification, and greed. And today, we recognize how stewardship and giving are connected to celebration. Each week at Broad Street Ministry, we request the honor and privilege of your company at a dinner party. And you are welcome no matter who you are, no matter where you come from. And we recognize that at this dinner table, everyone has something to share, like a potluck or a Friendsgiving or a cookout. You are invited to share what you have so that we can make this party happen, so that we can do so much more than survive, so that we can grow and thrive together as a community. This is a dinner party where you are simultaneously guest and co-host, and you are asked, what can you bring to the table? Now, to come to this table, you absolutely don't have to bring anything. You are inherently a part of this community. Just by showing up, you are part of this church, and we recognize that this party wouldn't be as good if you weren't here. We need you here. It's just better. So thank you for being here. But you giving something, you bringing your metaphorical dish, you bringing something to this community is not a requirement for you to be a part of this community. We ask you and we invite you to think about what you can give to this community for a couple of reasons. In a few minutes, when we're doing the offering later in the service, we are going to ask you to fill out a commitment card. If you're someone who is committed to this space and interested in investing in the space in a place that you can, it is on your chair. Has 2019 stewardship commitment card on it. And we ask you to fill this out for a couple of reasons. On a practical level, knowing what you plan to give and invest in this community in the next year, it helps us plan for the 2019 budget. Just like a person who's planning a potluck wants to know what each person is bringing, what dish you're bringing, so we have enough food and so we don't overlap, there's a very practical nature for why we ask you to do this. But we also ask you to fill out this commitment card because we know that it is a calculated risk. It is a risk for you to promise money to Broad Street when in reality, none of us really know what our finances are going to look like in the future. It is a risk for Broad Street Ministry to trust that you're going to live into this promise. It's a risk, and yet we're willing to walk into that risk together. We dare to trust each other, to be vulnerable to one another, believing that we can find true security in our commitments that we build together in this community. So a little bit later in the service, you're going to be invited to fill out this commitment card to place the offering in the basket. And I recognize you may need to take some time to discuss that. I'm in some ways kind of springing this on you, but that's okay. I'm new here. I can do what I want. I recognize that this is not something that people can easily do, and I also recognize that the people who regularly worship in this community, we are in our own ways in need of this spiritual nourishment. We are not the millionaires that are gonna just fix the roof or whatever. That's not our scene, and I don't need you to be that. I recognize that this is a big decision, and you may need to go home and talk to friends and loved ones. For me, it's a big decision. I have been a part of worshiping communities in the past, but I've never filled out a commitment card until this year. And so I had a long conversation in preparing for this sermon with my husband about what it looks like for us to say, all right, we're gonna commit to this. come hell or high water, we're going to do this. And that it's worthwhile for us personally to do this because we believe in this community and we trust you all. We trust that this is a worthwhile investment. So you're invited to go home to consider what you have to bring to the table, what you're wanting to commit to this place. And let me talk frankly for a little bit. You know, in the past couple of years or so, there have been cuts to this particular budget. The cut that breaks my heart the most is that we're not able to pay our musicians as much as we were before. And they're fantastic, and they provide such a spiritual need. They make this place what this place is. And I would love to, yeah. And I know that a number of folks, Pastor Raymond being one of them, worked diligently to make sure that we could do as much as we could for them. But I want to get to a place where we can do better, that we can treat them and pay them the ways that they deserve. So genuinely, your commitment of like $5 a week, if we're doing $1 a week, I'll take that. If you can give me $52, great, super, I'm into it. Mission year people, I'm looking at you. But if you can do $5 a week, $10 a week, $100 a month, whatever that looks like, know that it will genuinely make an effect on this community, that it is needed and deeply treasured and beloved. But I'm saying don't give out of a sense of guilt. Don't give out of a sense of requirement that you have to be in this space. There is no requirement. Just you giving the gift of your presence is a gift enough. But if you're able to bring something else to the table, I want you to commit to give to this community out of resistance to everything that's broken in this world. Commit to giving to this community, daring to risk vulnerability in this place. Commit to give, celebrating all that this place means to you. I believe that we absolutely all have something to bring to the table, whether we're good cooks or good musicians or artists or whatever it may be. We all have something to bring to the table, and I am so grateful for how much of yourselves you have already brought to this place. Thank you for making Broad Street even more radically hospitable, and thank you for making this place the sacred place that it is. Let's pray. Loving God, we know that throughout Scripture, Jesus talks about money more than any other issue, and yet it's not easy. We thank you for the ways that you are not just God of our Sunday afternoons, but you are the God of our entire lives, and that our relationships, our jobs, our material possessions, the small details of our life, you want to be wrapped up in that. You care deeply about those things. And so we ask in this moment that you speak truth to us, that you guide us in our decisions, and help us in the ways that we've already committed to Broad Street to look towards the future, to think about how we can continue to commit to the ministry of this place, to the ways that your Spirit is already moving. Thank you for the leaders in this place, the people who have held down the fort, the people who are moving us forward, the people who show up day after day. Loving God, we offer all of these things, all of these questions and thoughts and fears and hopes in the name of your Son.